So today we celebrate Pentecost. Today in the church and the Western world, we celebrate Pentecost. Shall I go low with this, Phil? We celebrate Pentecost. The Jews have been celebrating Shavuot over these last few days, and it comes together. But we as the Western, I'm going to touch on Shavuot just a little bit, really only mention it, but I want to talk to us today about, as Christian believers today, what Pentecost should mean to us and how it should affect us and how we should allow it to affect us and what we should remind ourselves of in regard to it. So at Pentecost, we celebrate, we remember the coming of Holy Spirit upon the early followers of Jesus, and also from a Christian church history background point of view, Pentecost is the day that is recognized that which the church that we know, the Church of Jesus Christ, was actually birthed. It was a day where it was birthed in that sense. So the word Pentecost is a transliteration of the Greek word Pentecostos, which means 50. Transliteration is literally taking from one language, translating across into another language, that word. So Pentecostos became transliterated into the word Pentecost, literally meaning 50. In Judaism, it is celebrated as the Festival of Weeks, or simply put, the weeks, or Shavuot in Hebrew. This name comes from Leviticus 23 and verse 16, where God instructs the people to count 7 weeks or 50 days from the end of Passover. And I'm not going to go into all of those reasons, into the reasons why in any sort of depth at all. But Shavuot was the second great feast in Israel's yearly cycle, and it was originally a harvest festival, and to a certain degree is still celebrated and has definite ringings of being a festival of harvest, celebrating the first fruits. It's talked about in Exodus chapter 23. But in time, it turned into a day to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And this day becomes especially significant for us as born-again, spirit-filled Christian believers, because 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, during the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the first followers of Christ, resulting in this everlasting idea, this everlasting truth, this everlasting principle of the empowerment of upon us for our mission as believers and gathering, and this whole idea of gathering us together as the Church of Jesus Christ. So we pick up this whole discourse about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it begins and it says this: "And when the day of Pentecost had come, the first followers of Jesus were all together in one place. All of a sudden, a sound came from heaven like a strong wind, filling the house where the people had gathered. Something like tongues of fire rested on their heads, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak." So there's a number of things in there that are mentioned, and for time's sake and purposes of today, I'll just mention a couple of them. The languages spoken by these early Christians at this situations were intelligible, but not otherworldly. Intelligible to them as Hebrews, but not otherworldly, and were heard by thousands of Jewish pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Shavuot. Verses 7 through 11 of Acts 2 says this: "They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and we hear them speaking in our own native languages. We are here, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we hear these people speaking in our own languages.'" Verse 12, "They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, 'They're just drunk, that's all.'" Verse 11 tells us,
that the content of the miraculous messages that were being spoken in these other languages had to do with God's mighty works. Many who heard these messages in their own languages were utterly amazed that these people, these men from Galilee, these some of them quite uneducated men from Galilee, were speaking in these different languages, though others thought these believers were simply just drunk. And then at some point in that whole procedure, Peter gets up. Peter was one of the, I think most of us know who Peter was. He stands up, preaches his first sermon. For those of you who don't know who Peter is, he's one of the early disciples of Christ, one of the more leading, I guess, followers of Christ. He gets up and he preaches his first sermon. My goodness, what a first sermon to have. He interprets the events of the morning in light of the prophecy of the Hebrew prophet Joel. And then this text he talks about, God promises to pour out his spirit, the text being Joel's prophecy. God promises to pour out his spirit on all flesh, empowering diverse, many different people to exercise divine power, and this would be a sign of the coming day of the Lord. You read about that in Acts chapter 2, 16 through 21, and Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And during this discourse, he goes on to explain that Jesus had been raised from the dead and that God has poured out the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of his promise through the prophet Joel. And when the crowd asks, the crowd hears all that's going on, this incredible preach by Peter. And when the crowd asks what they should do in response, Peter urges them simply to turn their lives around and be baptized in the name of Jesus, be forgiven, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You read about that in verses 37 through 39 of Acts chapter 2. And then we move on a little bit, just a couple of verses on to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And it reports that there were 3,000 people were added to the church that day as a result. Not a bad first effort from Peter, isn't it? So as we gather together here as Lee Valley Church, we are part of the Christian tradition called Pentecostals. We are part of the Pentecostal church worldwide. We're part of an organization called Assemblies of God, one of the original Pentecostal groupings or denominations around the world. At the present rate of growth amongst the Pentecostals and Charismatics, it's just another side of the Spirit-filled church, pretty much exactly the same as far as outworkings go, except the Charismatics really came to life in the 70s. At the rate of growth amongst the Pentecostals and Charismatics around the world, we will become the largest sector of Christianity in the world in no time at all. If you go to nations throughout the world where God is moving, it's amongst the Pentecostal churches and the Charismatic churches. Just incredible things going on. So we're in good stuff. So as part of this Christian tradition called Pentecostals, we believe and therefore accept the promise of the powerful experience of God's presence in our lives through the baptism of Holy Spirit, which is usually accompanied with the gift of speaking in tongues, generally not a known language, alongside the release of a whole host of other spiritual gifts given by Holy Spirit. This is a direct result of the day of Pentecost when Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers. It's just a very light, just a bounce off of a few things here. So what difference? We have to then ask ourselves, what difference does it really make for us today that the first Christians that we regard as the first believers were baptized, were filled with Holy Spirit almost 2,000 years ago on the Jewish festival of Shavuot? What is the big deal about it all? Well, we can talk about many things, but just for the sake of today, I want to just pull out two specific areas that really matter to us today as born-again, Spirit-filled believers. Number one is this. As a result of Holy Spirit being poured out on that day, we have the presence and the power of Holy Spirit available to us all the time. See, what happened on the first Pentecost continues to happen to Christians throughout the world today, though usually not in such dramatic fashion, perhaps, as what was found there with flames of fire and different things. But nevertheless, God pours out his Spirit upon all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and become his disciples and understand the teaching that there is on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So as Christians, we are meant to live in the presence and power of the Spirit of God. That is what we are supposed to do as born-again, Spirit-filled believers. We are supposed to live in a reality of that presence and power. See, the Holy Spirit helps us to do a number of things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, Holy Spirit helps us, it says, to confess Jesus as Lord. Without Holy Spirit, there is no place where he helps us to, he draws us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4 through 11, he empowers us to serve God with supernatural power. In the same chapter, verses 12 through 13, he binds us together as the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, 26, it says, Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we do not know how to pray. Romans 8, 27, he even intercedes for us with God the Father. In Galatians 5, verse 25, the Holy Spirit guides us. And earlier on in that chapter, in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, he helps us to live like Jesus Christ. A number of things there that are at our disposal are there for us to put into action through his presence and power in our life. See, to celebrate Pentecost, it gives us an opportunity to consider how we are living today. Today, as we celebrate Pentecost, as we celebrate this outpouring of the Spirit of God, 50th day after the resurrection, 50th day after resurrection, we need to remember and be challenged by some of these things that actually pertain to us living today in 2018. Such questions like this: are we actually relying on the power of Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we an open channel for the gifts of Holy Spirit to operate through our lives? Are we attentive to the guidance of Holy Spirit on a constant basis? Because he has promised that he is with us at all times. He is with us always. Are we open to the reality that his guidance is there at all times? And is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc., growing actually in our lives as a result of Holy Spirit being in our lives? See, we have the promise to be able to live in the presence and the power of the Spirit of God on a continuing basis, but the reality is this, more often than not, that we are limited by our own lack of understanding at times, by our own fear at times, by our own sin at times, by our own low expectations, and not to forget even our tendency to be distracted from actually what God is doing in our lives on an ongoing basis. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we understand it or not, the work of God should be going on in our lives on a continuing basis. Yeah? Should be just there, ticking away, going on, things happening in our lives. Today needs to remind us of the opportunity we have to live as we were meant to do and to ask Holy Spirit to fill us afresh with his power. What a great opportunity when we celebrate, as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, to actually remind ourselves to actually ask Holy Spirit to fill us afresh with his power. And the second one is this, I just want to just quickly point out, is the central role of the church in God's work in the world. Let me explain that whole idea. On Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the individual followers of Christ as they gathered together in Jerusalem. That's fact. That is what went on. This gathering became the first Christian church, thereby underscoring this, the absolute vitality, the responsibility of us, the church, that we have in God's work in the world. As Holy Spirit was poured out on those early believers, as Christian history tells us, that that was the beginning, and regarded as the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that same way, we must remember that Holy Spirit enables us to be the Church of Jesus Christ today, over 2,000 years later. We live in a time when the church is being regarded as something that is perhaps useful, but not really necessary. That's really the general trend of society. Well, it's good to have the church around, but is it really necessary? Do we really need to? So we get the occasional glimpses of people thinking it's wonderful because a black preacher who preaches at a royal wedding makes some people laugh and preaches a gospel message that hits home to people. But otherwise the church is mocked by society, by the media and stuff. But in reminding ourselves of Pentecost, it should give us a renewed picture of the truth that is found throughout Scripture, that the community of God's people is central to God's work in the whole world. We are central. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, are central to God's work upon planet Earth as a direct result of Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost can remind us to reconsider our own participation in what we gather together and what we call fellowship of, and in worship and in the mission of the church. It should be a time to renew our commitment to live as essential members of the body of Christ, using our gifts to build the church and to share the love and the justice of Christ throughout a world that needs to know God. So after the Holy Spirit falls on these first followers of Christ, Peter preaches this sermon, and this is what he says. He says a part of that portion of Scripture, he goes, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." And these lines here are the real important ones for us to all hear and receive from. "In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." And later, Peter explains that the Spirit would be given to all who turn from their sin and turn to God through Jesus Christ. This is momentous. The Spirit of God, the very presence of God being made available to all of us as Christian believers, not being reserved just for the few, but actually being for every one of us. It's a watershed event in the history of Christianity. It's an incredibly significant event where instead of God just coming down and using individuals, God comes and makes his Spirit available to everybody who would believe, so that they would receive the fullness of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So today you and I live with the reality that we have the fullness of the power and the presence of Holy Spirit available to us every single moment of our days, if we choose to recognize, choose to draw from that very source, if we choose to. Or, you know, and this truth does not mean that every Christian would be gifted for every kind of ministry, but it does imply that all believers would be empowered by the Spirit of God to carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ here on earth. That's a wonderful truth. This is not a wonderful truth that we should go, "Oh, this is really cool. This is just a really wonderful thing that, okay, I realize that." This is something that we need to live in on a moment-by-moment basis with an expectation that God will truly move through us as he has promised. The Church of Jesus Christ would be a place that the Church of Jesus Christ would be a place where every single person matters, where every member contributes to the health and the mission of the church worldwide. See, on the day of Pentecost, the prophecies of John the Baptist and the prophet Joel were fulfilled. They were fulfilled on that one day. God pours out his spirit on all who were gathered there. He baptizes them with Holy Spirit and with fire. See, Pentecost marks the fulfillment of the mission of God's salvation. It's such an incredible pivotal point. It marks the powerful transforming work of God within his people. It symbolizes the spiritual birth of the church and the enabling of us, the members of the church worldwide. And this is the good news. God is still doing exactly the same thing today to us and millions of other people around the world. He desires to baptize us, his children, with Holy Spirit and with the fire and the attributes that came with that first great outpouring. He wants to replace our ineffectiveness with power and ability through his giftings. He wants to fill us. His desire is to fill us to overflowing with the power and effectiveness of his presence in our lives. And like the disciples, we need to believe God and expect to receive all that he has promised. To expect equipping. We need to be people who expect equipping of Holy Spirit in our lives. Therefore, we first of all need to expect the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need all to be people who expect to be empowered every moment of the living of our lives. Every moment of our days, consciously recognizing his empowerment in all the issues of life and all the moments of life and everything we are involved in. We need to be those who expect the fruits of Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of God, to be working through us. The joy, peace, faith, gentleness, self-control, whatever the rest of them are. We need to expect to be led by Holy Spirit every moment of every day. By having our ears on, by having our very consciousness connected to God. Expect to have victory and expect God to keep his word to us. See, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, was all about expectations that were being fulfilled right on that day. So why not use the celebration of the day of Pentecost to ask God to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit so that we might join in the ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth today with a new or a renewed passion. I don't know about you, but I always need renewed passion. Anybody else? I know for me, I need every day a fresh and filling of Holy Spirit in my life to do what needs to be done. I need his guidance every day. I need his comfort every day. I need his enabling every day to work through what I do in life. You know what? It's time to renew our commitment to fulfilling our crucial role in the ministry of God's people in the world. I say all that this morning to give us time to worship God. And Nick, it's your choice whether we sing some songs or we just put some songs on down the back, whatever you guys want to do as a worship team. But to actually allow Holy Spirit to come and touch us again with freshness. Do you want to say something?